We're going to have a special now for our second song this morning. Thank you very much for that beautiful song. It was very moving. Well, we have another opportunity. God gives us opportunities in our lives to try our faith, to see if we are truly his children. Our brother has prepared those things that he has besought God that he might bring to us this morning, and your opportunity is to be able to hear it and to see where it applies in your life. So I ask and pray that you would give your heart and your attention to those things that our brother would speak to us this morning, and ask God to help you in that endeavor. I give to you our brother, Duane Ely, this morning.
Thank you, Gordon. And thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. It is good to be with you here today and to see each one of you here. The scripture I'm going to read first this morning is one that's very familiar to us during this time of year. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took upon him his wife, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What a beautiful story this is. The birth of Jesus Christ, the very foundation of our religion and our belief, that this Jesus would come forth to, as it says here, he shall save his people from their sins through his sacrifice. And it talks about him being Emmanuel, interpreted as God with us. Hard for us to imagine that God would come down here on earth and live as a man for us because he loved us so much. And what a beautiful story this is. But it has to have great significance, doesn't it? That God would come down here on earth for a reason. There had to be a reason. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 11, verse 39. This is on page 142. Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. We see here from this scripture very plainly the importance of this Jesus Christ, that he is the only way that we can obtain salvation is through this Jesus Christ. So we see how important this story that we read in Matthew is of the birth of our Master and the things that he did while he was here on earth. So we see that this is the only way that we can obtain salvation is through Christ. So there must be something that man must do in order to obtain this salvation. And we will look at that, at what we must do in a few minutes. You know, during this reunion, I had the opportunity during one evening meal to sit down and talk with Dana Manon Lawrence. And during our conversation, we were talking about music and how this music is a gift from God. And when we all know that Dan and Manon are very, very gifted and very talented musicians, and we were talking about, or I was talking about, how how that I am musically illiterate. I don't know anything about music except that I enjoy it. I know that I enjoy it, and I know that I appreciate it. And you know, Manon said something that was very profound to me. She was saying how important I was to music, even though I am musically illiterate. Because she said that musicians need an audience. And how true that is. They need somebody to enjoy and appreciate their music. So now, all of a sudden, my musical importance has been elevated. I now have importance musically to listen to music and enjoy it and appreciate it. So now I am sort of like a musician now, right? Maybe not. I was going to put on the sign-up sheet that I would sing O Holy Night a cappella. And I can assure you, if I did that, you would never forget that as long as you live. I can guarantee it. But I know that music is truly a gift from God. And we're going to listen to that right now. We're going to listen to this gift from God. We're going to listen to Sarah Brightman sing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, holy sky, holy bright, round your virgin mother and child.
Silent Night is perhaps my favorite Christmas song. And Sarah has one of the most beautiful voices that I have ever heard. You know, on one of our trips to Africa, Brian and I were talking about her. And we were wondering if the angels can sing better than her. And I don't know. I don't have that answer. Maybe they can sing a lot better. It would be hard for me to imagine. But we know the scriptures talk about that paradise will be much more wonderful than we can even imagine. But we were also talking about how terrible it would be if Sarah's voice was not in heaven. And I'm not here. I didn't come here today to judge her. But I can tell you that a beautiful voice will not get us to heaven. It will take more. It will take something else. We will need to follow after Christ and follow after the example that he has given unto us. You know, we all have been given talents, each one of us. Some in this room can sing beautifully. Some can play instruments. Some have other talents, all kinds of different things. But we need to use those things to glorify God. Now let's look at what we must do to obtain salvation. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi chapter 12. Verses 33 through 35. And this is on page 674. And this is Jesus speaking. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which you have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. We know that when Christ was here, that he gave us his gospel, didn't he? He started his church here on earth. But it also tells us here that we must do the things that we have seen him do. That is what is required of us. We have his example. His example while he was here on earth. And we have it in the scriptures. The things that he did. He set the example for us. Now let's look at these things. These things that Christ did while he was here on earth. The example that he set for us. The first thing was baptism. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see here the example that was set by Christ. Even though he was without sin. It tells us in other places that Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. But we see again that he set the example for us. He showed us what we must do. Baptism is required for salvation. The scriptures tell us that. that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless we have repented of our sins and been baptized. So we see there was a purpose. A purpose for Christ being baptized. He set the example for us. He showed us the way. One of those things that is required of us. And those of us that are members of the Church of Christ know that baptism is really only the beginning. Only the beginning of your spiritual life that sets us on that straight and narrow path. The next one, he was the light of the world. Let's turn over to John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a wonderful thing that is, that Christ is this light of the world, that he is our example. And you know, we see the world today that it is walking in darkness. I don't know the figures, but there's really only a very small percentage of the world that believes that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God. Those people are walking in darkness. And we know that there are many evil people in the world who have no religious values. They are walking in darkness. But we have this Jesus Christ, who was born and died on the cross for us, who showed us the way. He is that light. And you know, it's a light. Christ's light is one that never goes out. You know, we have the light of the day and the night. The sun comes up and goes down. We have day and night. But with Christ, it's always light. That light is always there. His truth is always there. All we have to do is reach out for it. But we see it talks about that Christ is the light of the world. But that's our example. He also tells us that we are to be the light of the world. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says here that ye are the light of the world. We are to be a light to the world. We are to be an example. We are to be that example to those in the world that are walking in darkness. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When our light is shining, others in the world can see our good works. And we are glorifying God. We are glorifying the name of God. It is something that needs to be there in us. Others need to be able to see it. And if that light is burning brightly inside of us, others will see it. Others will see it. Nobody will have to be told that that light is burning in us. Our Master set the example for us to follow. The next one is forgiveness. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 23. Verses 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they departed his raiment and cast lots. The time that Christ was being crucified, this would be the most traumatic part of anybody's life. He knew what was coming. He could see the hatred that these people had for him as they scourged him and beat him. And we're going to hang him on that cross to die. You know, we have to think about this as humans. What would our emotion be? What would we be thinking? I can tell you what the human nature would be. We would be angry. We would be furious. We would have hatred for these people. That's the natural man. But what did Christ do? He showed us the way, didn't he? He gave us the example that we are to follow. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The most traumatic time in his life. He didn't have anger. He didn't have hatred. He had love. He had forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We need to have forgiveness in our lives. And Christ set the example. Probably none of us will be faced with anything like this. We don't know that for sure. It's possible that we could. But most of us will not. But even at this terrible time in life, Christ, showing us the way, had love and forgiveness for these people. The next one is prayer. Let's look at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, so as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see here, not only did Christ give us the example of praying, because he was praying to the Father, but he taught us how to pray. He told the disciples the very way that they were to pray. And there's really, you know, in this short prayer, there's kind of four things that are in here. The first one is that we're to give honor and glory and reverence to God. We are to glorify the name of God. The second thing is that we are to pray for the things that we need in life. You know, the scriptures tell us that we're to pray over everything. And each one of us stand in need every day for temporal things, for spiritual things, for wisdom, for knowledge, for guidance. We're to pray over these things. The next one is that we are to ask for forgiveness of our sins. We're to repent of our sins on a daily basis. And the fourth one is to pray that God will deliver us from the temptations of Satan. Very important. That Satan will not be able to overpower us and lead us away to destruction. So we see that Christ showed us the way. He gave us the example that we are to follow. The next one is that Christ was submissive. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 42. And we see in this scripture that Christ is praying to the Father. But we see also that he is submissive to the will of the Father. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So we see here our Master, Jesus Christ. He was pouring out his heart to the Father. Again here, this time of terrible distress. And he was petitioning the Father, asking him that if there be any other way. But we know there was no other way, was there? There was no other way. He would have to endure this. He would have to endure this terrible suffering, this death on the cross. But we see as Christ is petitioning the Father, asking him, we see what his mindset is, though. With the final statement, he says, Not my will, but thine be done. He was submissive. Submissive to the Father. That's the way we must be. We must be submissive in this life to the will of the Father and the Son. And you know, life is different for each one of us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But up to this point in time, each one of us have lived a little different life. Part of the Church of Christ, but each one of us have had different trials, troubles, temptations, broken bones, whatever it is. Had joys and sorrows, peace, comfort, but it's all been a little bit different. We're going to have trials in life. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, But we must be submissive to the Master. Whatever He asks us to do. Remember in our scripture we read that we do the things that Christ did. And He was willing to submit His will to the Father. We must be willing to submit our will. And whatever it might be, whatever the Lord asks us to do, make be that we have to sacrifice. Did Christ sacrifice? He sacrificed it all. We must be willing to do the same. To submit to the will of our Father. The next one. He resisted temptation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We see here the example of Christ resisting the temptations of Satan. We are going to be tempted by Satan. We're going to be tempted by Satan every day in our life. He's going to be out there trying to steal our souls away. We need to be aware of it. We need to be prepared. We need to think ahead. What are we going to do in this situation? Because it's going to come. You're going to be tempted. Each one of you know your weaknesses. I know my weaknesses. Satan knows our weaknesses. That is where he is going to tempt us and try to lead us away to destruction. So we need to follow Christ's example and resist these temptations of Satan. The next one, Christ was sinless. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He left us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We see here Christ was without sin. Lived his whole life without sin. Of course, we know that that made him that perfect sacrifice. That perfect sacrifice for each one of us. Let's look at Alma, chapter 21, verse 18. This is on page 467. And as I have said, so shall it be. For this is the cursing and the blessing of God upon this land. For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. In other words, sin is not okay. Sin is never okay. Christ set the example for us. He was without sin. We'll talk about this a little more in a minute. Let's go on to the next one, though. The next one is he was perfect. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 5, verse 92. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that ye should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So we see here, and these are the words of Christ, that he is telling us something here, isn't he? He's saying that we should be perfect, even as I, or the Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Again, giving us the way, showing us the example. And I know that when we look up this word perfect, that it doesn't mean that we are without faults or flawless, or unblemished. We define perfect as a complete in moral character. It means that we have done what Christ has asked us to do. We have followed after his commandments. But I do know that Christ does not want us to sin. He wants us to be free from sin. We have to realize that we are his children. And we have children. Many of us have children. And we know what we want for them. We know that we want them to be good and free of sin, don't we? That's what we want for them. We don't want them to fall away and be led into temptation. We want the best for them. But we also know that Christ knows and understands that we as human beings often fall into temptation. We yield to the temptations of Satan. But that is why Christ has given us this ability to repent, so that our sins might be washed away. But you know, I think sometimes that we get complacent in life. Because we know the scriptures tell us that all have sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us that have reached the age of accountability have sinned, all but Christ. So I think sometimes we get complacent and say, well, it's impossible for us not to sin. All mankind sins. So sometimes I think that we get complacent and we don't try as hard as we should. Because we have that back in our mind that man sins. All mankind sins. So I don't think we sometimes try as hard as we should. And even though I know that as long as we live on this earth, that we're not going to be completely sin-free. You know, that'll all be washed away sometime in the future, in the next life. But while we're living here, I know we're not going to be completely sin-free. But I know that's what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be sin-free. So I think each one of us so need to look in our lives and to strive harder so that we can grow closer to the Lord and to eliminate more of these sins and to try to push them out of our lives. I know we need to make it a priority, to continually strive to remove sin from our life. Christ set the example for us. And we need to come as close to that example as we can. It takes work. It takes work. Because I know that Satan is always out there trying to lead us away, lead us away. But I know that Christ will strengthen us. He will help us that we can endure these temptations so that we can draw closer and closer to Him. Let's look at 3 Nephi chapter 5, verse 66. Again, Christ's words. As he gives us the way to repent of these sins. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When we repent, we need to be humble and sincere. We need to come unto the Lord, overcome with this sense of guilt, having remorse, showing remorse. The Master gave us a way that we can come back into His presence, that our sins can be forgiven. But I want us to think about this in our daily walk of life, that we don't get complacent. Because I know each one of us can draw closer. We can draw closer to the Lord. But we're going to have to work diligently at it. Something we're going to have to do every day in our life. We can't get complacent. The next one is obedience. Let's look at John chapter 12, verses 49 to 50. The words of Christ. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, which I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So we see here Christ's example. He did everything exactly like the Father wanted Him to do. Everything. They were one. One in spirit, one in purpose, one in thought. Followed after the Father. Was obedient to Him in every respect. So we need to look at our obedience to Christ. And see where we're at. Where are we at? Where do we stand? Are we always obedient to Him? We need to work on it daily so that we can draw closer. Be more filled with the Spirit. Have the Lord working in our lives to a greater degree. And I know that He will. As we draw closer to the Master will draw closer to us. And the last one is love. John 15, verses 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's telling us that we're to love one another, to love our brothers and sisters, to love our fellow man, to love those that hate us, even as Christ did. But it says here, even as I have loved you. And we know how much that Christ loved us. So much that he was willing to suffer and die on that cross for us. To die on that cross for our sins. We know that is the pure love of Christ. That pure love that he has for us. We need to have this love for him and for those around us. Jesus Christ set the example for us. He came here on earth. He was born in the beautiful story of his birth. Established his church. Called his apostles. Died on the cross for our sins. Because he loved us so much. So for us to obtain salvation, we must follow after the examples that Christ has given to us. And we must do the things that we have seen him do. He has showed us the way. But it's up to each one of us to follow after him. And it is a prayer in my heart that each one of us in our daily walk of life, that we will not be complacent, but that we will diligently strive to draw closer to our Master. And to follow after his example. Thank you.